Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
I believe I am ready.
I believe we can get to it.
Okay, but I don't have the script up, Kimberly, so if you start...
That's
you
okay,
start.
I got this. Hello, right. I'm Kimberly Adams. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for Economics on Tap. It is Make Me Smart. This is our YouTube live stream, and it is Friday, July the 14th. So thank you, everyone, for joining in. We're excited to be here.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is, as Kimberly said, Friday, so we're going to drink a little bit. We'll do some news. I apologize for how I look on the live stream, but we had some computer snafus, and there is nothing I can do about that, so I'm doing this off my laptop, and that's where we are. Maybe I could, I don't know. I'll try something. Anyway, that's what we got going on. We're going to do a little drinking, a little talking, a little news. Also, note to self, I cannot turn the volume down on my Zoom all the way. That is a design flaw. Anyway.
We have got this. What are you drinking, Kai?
I had some beer. I went out to the store last night, got a couple of beers because, you know, I'm a beer guy. And then I remembered I had some ginger ale in the garage, and I have a bottle of Old Forester that Annika gave me when she left. She actually gave me a going away present, which is just very shrewd of her.
That's sweet.
So I'm having myself bourbon and ginger ale on a 96 degree day here in Los Angeles.
Hopefully with a lot of ice. That sounds good, though. I do love a good bourbon and ginger. So I have made one of my very fancy DIY cocktails, which is sort of like a glammed up tequila sunrise, except for instead of using grenadine, I used cranberry orange syrup. And then I had these blood orange saffron shrub that I put in there. And then it's got orange juice, and I was going to put tequila in it, but I don't feel like drinking tonight, so I use my non-alcoholic tequila instead. And then I've got little saffron threads on the top for garnish, just because I want to feel fancy.
There you go. Nice to feel fancy. Why don't you take a quick stroll through the live stream?
Yes, so Jennifer Flippin Pierce has a gin and tonic with a ton of ice. Gin is the devil. Paul has Moxie straight up. People like your Old Forester. And Megan is having a dark and stormy. Why Amir a Moscow mule? So lots of interesting drinks tonight. Love it all. Love it all. Kai, what is your news?
So look, today was one of those days. I'm going to raise my microphone a little bit on the off chance that y'all can't hear me well enough.
We can hear you.
Today was one of those days where I went to pick out a news item for this podcast, and I realized I was done with the news. I don't want to do news today. I've had enough. You know. Between the NDAA and all the climate change stuff, and I'm done with the news. It just feels like it's been a very long week. So I picked an item, which I'll talk about in a minute, but I just didn't have it today news-wise. You know what I mean?
I was just telling Michael, who edited my spot on the NDAA today, it's just such a Friday. I had zero energy in me left, and I just it was a grind today getting it done, because it has been a heavy news week and busy and hot and uncomfortable, and so that's real life. So I mean, I have some news items, but I'll blow through them real quick. Two from the wires, and then we'll get to your hopefully non-newsy thing. There's a story in Reuters, and it's a couple of other places too. Johnson & Johnson is suing the researchers that linked its talc powder to cancer. So remember, there were all of these lawsuits about Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and talcum powder powder potentially being contaminated with asbestos and causing cancer, or at least contributing to people's cancer. Johnson & Johnson has always denied these allegations. Nevertheless, the lawsuits are going forward in a lot of places. They siphoned off the debt in and the liabilities into a different company to try to shield themselves. Big long story we've covered before. But the fact that they are suing the researchers who did this, man, what a chilling effect on what could be, you know, really important research moving forward. If you know that, you know, you do research that's damaging to one of the biggest corporations in the country, and you might be at risk of a lawsuit. And I mean, like, I get it that, you know, if it's not true, obviously they're fully in their rights. But I just think it'll be very interesting to see how this case plays out and what it does for academia. So,
yes to everything you said and the chilling effect especially. But here's a sort of a different. Here's how I think of this. I don't understand. Let me back up for a minute. Nominally, companies exist to make a profit. Right. This is not the shareholder value argument. This is the companies are there to sell things and make money for it, and that's what they're for. And okay, fine. We could caveat that, and I could. There's a whole riff on all that that we could do. But let's just accept the fact that they're there to make money. Mm-hmm. What I don't understand is how companies don't see how their actions are perceived, or perhaps don't care about the tone deafness of what they're doing. I just don't get it. It boggles the mind.
I don't think they care because they don't have to care, right? Like, look
I guess.
What happens in the markets and the profits keep coming in, and, you know, people do what they can get away with. And I think it's the same with corporations. Yeah. And until there's a reason that they can't, that they actually have to face consequences for looking bad. I mean, remember Pharma Bro dude who hiked up the price of everything and literally.
God, what was his name?
Martin Shkreli, I think.
Oh,
he didn't
good for
care.
You, yes.
He didn't care because he didn't have to care until he went to jail, you know? And then, but for the most part, it was just like, why not? I want to make money. This is what it's for. I own it. I'm going to do it. So.
Right. Exactly.
That was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I
My
can.
Other one.
You bet.
Yes, because I can. My other one is another quick hit.
Oh. Ooh. Ooh. And I thought I was having problems. Is that a fire alarm?
It's a fire alarm. So it's really. Oh, I think it's because of the weather. Let's give it a
You should probably. All right, let's give it a minute.
I will in just a second because there's a bad thunderstorm, and often when there's a bad thunderstorm, the fire alarm goes off. But let's see, and then I'll grab Jasper and run.
You grab Jasper and run. We'll do a very quick half full, half empty. Oh, my Lord. That's so funny.
I'm going to get on Zoom on my phone, and we are going to do this. I believe in us.
I will give you time to get on Zoom on your phone. We'll figure out how the recording is going to go. That's why Jake Cherry gets the big money. But in the meanwhile, I will go through my news item. And maybe, Kimberly, as you're getting on Zoom, you can update us on Slack and see what the hell is going on. So here's my news item. Obviously, I'm done with the news. Oh, it stopped. Or maybe she just muted us. Oh, Jake took her off. Good move. Primo radio engineer move. So here's my thing. I was done with the news, obviously, as I said. But the Women's World Cup starts in something like a week-ish down under. And a number of weeks ago, Kimberly had an item on the rollout of the Women's World Cup team and how they had this video with all these celebrities, Taylor Swift and Lil Wayne and the Bidens and all of them. There's a piece in The Athletic today, which is the sports outfit that the New York Times bought a year, two, three ago, whatever it was, and just this week or maybe last week announced that it was going to fold its sports section and use The Athletic as its sports section. Anyway, there's a piece in The Athletic about how that video came to be. And about how they lined up the most popular star in the world right now, one Taylor Swift, who is an economy unto herself, to get into that video. Not to mention, oh, by the way, a slightly less celestial luminary the president of the United States. And you think I'm kidding, but honestly, Taylor Swift drives more economic stuff than the president of the United States does. And all y'all can quote me on that. Anyway, so great piece in The Athletic. We'll put it on the show page. It's super fun. It's very behind the scenes, which I definitely enjoy. And y'all should put it there. And with that, while we wait for Kimberly to come back, or maybe she won't, I don't know. We're done with the news. We're going to take a quick break, get some advertisers in here. And when we come back, Drew Jostad is here. I will have a foil for a round of half full, half empty. Drew, heads up to you, sir. This may be a different thing than you've ever done before on the pod. So we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
All right, half full, half empty is the game. I'm going to try to fire up YouTube on my phone, so maybe I can take some questions from the people on the live stream. We shall see. But in the meanwhile, Drew Jostad, how are you?
I'm all right, Kai. How are you?
Well, look, I'm less good than I was 5 minutes ago.
No, but you're handling it very well.
I will tell you this bourbon and ginger ale is going down very, very smoothly, and I'm glad, frankly, that I have it. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the Google Doc, and I'm going to get the YouTube live stream thing going on. And in the meanwhile, I would like you to tell me what the first question is on this week's half full and or half empty. Go.
So this week's first topic is, are you half full or half empty on the new MSG Sphere in Las Vegas, which is the huge video screen, LED screen. I'm not sure exactly what the screen is, but it's basically a huge sphere that projects whatever they want to project on it.
Okay, so look, you said MSG, and I thought of two things. One is monosodium glutamate, and the other one is Madison Square Garden, and I'm reasonably sure that this is neither of those. So
I think it's the second one.
Help? Madison Square Garden?
I think so.
Okay, all right.
I think it's affiliated. Well, I guess I might have to fact check that, but...
Well, no, I guess we'll see. So, look, anything vague. Look, I'm going to lay it on the line here, and this is only honestly because there's a bourbon in me, and I'm all alone, and I have to fill some time. I don't really like Las Vegas. It's not my thing. It's very. And look, people are going to complain about this, but don't at me. You know, I don't even know. So
I'm back.
So, Kimberly Adams says, I live and breathe. How are you?
Hello. I am good. I am outside. The alarm is still going off. There's a beautiful storm behind me. All my neighbors are outside.
Oh my
it's
God.
Good. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. So you missed the first one. The first one is about Las Vegas. I was about to say I really hate Las Vegas. So, Drew, let's go to the second one.
Oh, same. Oh. I don't like it either. All the way empty.
All right, good.
Any opinions on the new sphere thing?
I don't care.
Oh, the sphere thing. No, yeah. It's just another gimmick. I'm not into it.
All right.
There you go. All right.
Cottage cheese sales were up 15% in the year ending
God.
In May.
Oh, my God. So there was an article in the Wall Street Journal the other day about how cottage cheese is making a comeback among Gen Z, and it's all because of social media and influencers and TikTok. I, because I'm old, remember my mother... who doesn't listen to this podcast, so I can say this, eating cottage cheese as a diet mechanism in the 1970s, I have a real texture problem with cottage cheese, but apparently what they're doing now is they're making it into ice cream and breads and cakes. And I guess if you disguise it, it's okay. It's a little bit like what you do with vegetables with your children, like when you make like a wash thing or a carrot cake or something, but you know, fine, okay, but not my first choice.
So I don't like cheese in general, and cottage cheese in particular adds like the slime component, and so hard pass.
Yes.
My mother loves it though. My mother really likes cottage cheese, so she eats it like every day.
Total generational thing. Total generational thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I will say that I tried a cake made with cottage cheese a couple weeks ago, sort of like a cheesecake.
And?
But
so, I have heard of cottage cheese going into like chocolate cakes and actually adding something to it and being kind of good. I don't know.
My experience, right. I didn't love it. Anyway.
By the way, okay, I'm just assuming that y'all can hear me, right?
Yeah, well, I can hear you. I don't know if the YouTube can hear you. I think they can.
All right. Well, hope for the best.
YouTube, let us know if you can hear Kimberly, because if not, this is going to sound like a really awkward conversation.
All right.
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Are you half full or half empty?
Yes, they can. Sorry. Yes, the YouTube live stream can hear Kimberly, so we're good.
Half full or half empty on remote employees secretly working abroad.
Oh, this was such a great story. Oh, my God. So Kristen Schwab did a story for us about people who, unbeknownst to their company, and that's the important part, are living and working not just remotely, but like way remotely, like overseas, like in Spain and in Canada, up in the mountains and all over this place. And sometimes getting caught, it should be said. But how hard that can be. And you have to like... Yeah, you have to like dummy things up on your computer and you can't tell your friend. You have to pay attention to the weather back home so that your colleagues are like, yeah, it's really hot. And you can say, yeah, it's really hot, even though you're in Spain or wherever and it's gorgeous. Yeah, great story by Kristen Schwab. Look, I'm all in. The rules have changed. You can now work anywhere you want and more power to them.
So I personally think if you can get the work done, be wherever you want to be, have a great time.
Right.
However, I also get sort of the security concerns for corporations. Like you're on different networks, you're writing your information through different companies, through different countries. If you know you have somebody in finance who decides that they want to, you know, reside in China or Russia for remote work, I can see where it might become problematic. So.
Right.
You know,
right.
Within reason, so, I think, go for it.
So there's some expertise here in the YouTube comments. So Chuck Kleintecht says, no, serious legal and tax liability for both the employer and the employee. No, no, no. Jennifer Flippin Pierce, who I believe we've referenced once already today, says full, but the company needs to know for accounting purposes, which, by the way, Jennifer kind of spoils the fun. Number three. Yoga by Baby says the payroll software consultant, accountant, finance person in me wants to be sick. So I'm going to take that for a no. So, you know, it's not as easy as I might have believed.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Jasper's crying. He's real upset.
Well, I will tell you that there's some comments and questions in the live stream about how Jasper's doing. So you got him out and
yeah,
you know,
let's work.
Yeah.
Jasper.
Yeah. All right, Drew, are we on number three, number four? For the producers down the line and for everybody listening on the live stream, we're not doing a poll today because that honestly is just going to be too damn hard.
Yeah,
and forget it, just for the record. So, Drew, are we on four or on five? Which one are we on?
This is four if you want two more.
Yeah.
All right. The Associated Press this week announced a 2-year deal to share news content with OpenAI.
Yeah.
Are you half full or half empty?
So complicated feelings about this. So I am half full that a news organization is getting paid for its content all the way. Half empty because part of the reason we have so much bias in AI is because the data set is in itself biased. And we know that media, going back all that time, has not always been, we have a lot of animals in my complex,
has not always been
the most, shall we say, balanced when it comes to the right side of history, you know? And like, I wonder if like media narratives of things in the past, going back as far as the AP's records go, are really everything that we want to be feeding into AI. So like mostly full, but with the caveat.
Yeah, what Kimberly said, I totally agree. It's great they're getting paid and figuring out a way, but there are perils here. Number one, that we know about, that Kimberly just elucidated, but number two, that we just don't know about yet.
Right, right. And I mean, I guess will, it's also a step towards us being replaced, because once all that data is fed into the AI, they're going to be able to churn out, you know, reports as well. I mean, I believe the AP is already using AI even before the generative AI for some like stock reports and some election stuff every so often. So,
yeah,
time limit on our jobs.
Right. And if people heard the Marketplace Morning Report this morning, you heard David play a clip of him being artificially reproduced by AI. And it sounded a lot like David, except for, and he made a joke about this, his last name, which the computer could not pronounce. And also, Matt Levin's doing a piece for us on Marketplace next week, or however long it's going to take to do it, about AI and the challenges thereof. And they're going to do a voice simulation of me, like committing some crime or something. And it's with my permission, to be clear. So it's kind of wild.
I feel like I'm an old hat at this ever since I found out that one of the Siri voices sounded like me. So it's like,
yeah,
I'm,
you've been here before.
I'm kind of over it. Yeah.
For sure. For sure.
All right. What's the last one?
Just off of that thing you said about how far back the AP archives go, according to Axios, this deal is only going to be information going back to 1985. But I guess
I feel a little bit better about that.
Yes, but still, 1985 is 40 years ago. And think how much things have changed and what some of the attitudes were back in 1985. Hello?
I don't need to hear that. As an 80s baby, I don't need to hear that.
Dude, shut up. Shut up. Look me up on Wikipedia, figure out when I was born, and then shut up. All right?
All right. The storm has passed.
Anyway, go ahead.
Are you half full or half empty on Barbenheimer?
Oh, man.
Barbenheimer?
Yes. So there's the Barbie movie, and then there's Oppenheimer, both of which come out next week. And So I'm a science, history, World War II specifically geek. I really want to see Oppenheimer. It's really good. I'm in the middle of the biography on which that movie is based. It's kind of wild. So I'm definitely down for that. But there was a great piece in the New York Times a week ago, give or take, about Greta Gerwig, who directed and I think wrote the Barbie movie.
Yeah,
which made me want to see that movie. And before I was scoffing, and I'm like, oh, this is stupid, whatever, Barbie, you know, Margot Robbie.
That was supposedly like high level feminist, you know, commentary.
Right. And now I'm totally intrigued. So I'm going to see them both. Sadly, I'm out of town next weekend, but I'm definitely going to see them both. I think what's interesting is a lot of people are doing the doubleheader. They're going to see Barbie and then they're going to see Oppenheimer, or they're going to see Oppenheimer and then Barbie. So hence the Oppen Barbie or Barbieheimer nomenclature.
Barbieheimer sounds a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Maybe I'll do that too. Go see them both. The only person I really go to the movies with is Noelle, though. So I'll have to see if she wants to go.
Oh, is that right? when you see her, by the way.
Yeah.
And this will be an unsolicited endorsement. But for those of you listening, if you're not listening to Today Explained with Noelle King, you should, because she is spectacular.
Yeah,
she is spectacularly good at her job.
Yes, she is.
She is listenable.
Favorite.
I mean, Sean's fine, but Noelle is the bomb, truly. Truly.
Hard endorsement, yes.
Yeah. You bet.
So half full on Oppen Barbieheimer thing.
Yeah. Barbieheimer, yes.
Barbieheimer.
Yes. All right. Chick, I think we need a sting here, pal. We got to get out of here.
Help us. Get me out of here.
Oh, my Lord.
Back inside.
All right. So look, as Kimberly makes her way back inside, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read the rest of the copy, and then Kimberly's going to come in and say goodbye. We are done with half full, half empty, obviously. We're back next week on Money. In the meanwhile, We're doing a summer reading list in our newsletter, and we need some help. If you've got a summer reading recommendation that you think people who listen to this podcast might enjoy, send them our way, and tell us why you think they should be added to our list. Fiction, nonfiction, biography, documentary, take your pick, whatever you want. You know how to get a hold of us. It's makemesmart@marketplace.org, or the voicemail comes to us at 508-UB-SMART. That is 508, the letters U and B and S-M-A-R-T. Go. There we go. Whew. There's Jasper.
I was trying to all hold right, Kimberly, on to him, and he's like climbing on my
Kimberly,
head.
I'm doing all these credits, and then you can get to come in and say goodbye. Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergsicker. Today's episode was engineered by Jake Cherry, with a little bit of sleight of hand with Zoom and all the rest of that. Drew Jostat wrote the theme for our game, Half Full, Half Empty. Our intern is Niloufar Shabandi. The team behind our Friday game is Emily McCune and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer, who's probably pulling her hair out right now. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts. Francesca Levy, who's probably going to fire all of us, is the executive director of digital and on-demand. Kimberly Adams, say goodbye to everyone.
Hello, and Jasper pulling out my hair.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.